Now, Joe Garagiola at this point began to cheer with "Come on, Blue." And I'm just trying to think of the first blue we saw, first state that the president carried. I think the president also commented on how fast the map filled in red. The southern states came in very rapidly, and the singular holdout among the southern states was Virginia. And the president commented. Joe Garagiola began to cheer for "Show us some blue." And I'm trying to think now of the first state which NBC conceded to the president, and that was Connecticut. And the president said, "What a thrill that Connecticut actually came through and that they got themselves together." I certainly am very grateful to the Republicans of Connecticut. And not soon thereafter, because the reports were already coming in favorably from New Jersey, New Jersey turned blue, and that's when Joe really went wild. By then, however, the configuration of the map, aside from Louisiana and Texas, was red. And to my mind, the president's key states that he was really looking at very hard were Texas and Pennsylvania. My impression is that he really felt he would carry Texas. And he said that Connally had made a number of calls to the president while I was there. I didn't hear the conversation, but he had, and the president reported that, telling the president not to worry about adverse early results from Texas. And they were adverse. But when Texas still showed Carter ahead, and 70% of the vote had been counted, which was not very late. Could have been as early as 9 o'clock, 9-ish. Connally again called the president and said, told him it wasn't looking so good. Yes, he went out of the room for these calls. But along about 9 o'clock, I would say, I went to the president and I said, "Look, Mr. President," he was then at another television. By that time, another television had been opened up in a very long room, which was also a continuation of the living room we were in. It had a long series of living rooms on the second floor. And this was the number two living room, where another set had been opened. And the president kind of sat at both in the course of the night, but the one he sat at the longest and the most was the one he started with. But he shifted from one to one. Also, by that time, Mrs. Ford had said anybody who wants a bite to eat could get it. And there was a buffet, and everybody helped themselves. And the president did. He had some food rather promptly. He went to the other set, and I went to him. He was sitting, you know, two chairs from me. He was then sitting in an armchair. Quite out in the middle of the room, really. And I said, "Mr. President, it seems ridiculous to me that you're not getting the detailed reports that must be pouring into the National Committee from the professionals on the ground. What's, you know, the difference between what did happen and would happen in a given place, etc." And he said, "Well, that's true, Jack. Why don't you arrange it?" And I said, "Well, I'll call Mary Louise Smith immediately." So I went into his bedroom and called Mary Louise Smith, and I said, "What's going on here? The president is not, as a candidate and the president of the United States, being kept informed as I would be kept informed if I were running for a House seat." She said, "You're absolutely right." He said, "We'll round it up immediately, and may we continue to call you all evening, giving you these detailed bulletins?" And I said, "You certainly may, and you certainly should." So from then on, I was getting calls from Mary Louise Smith about every 10 minutes or 20 minutes, with latest results, and one that stood vividly in my mind of these conversations, of which there were maybe five. And then they dribbled out as the result became clear. But one conversation which she told me that in Pennsylvania, which to me was a key, I told her that I had my eyes on Pennsylvania because I thought that was really a key. She said that in Pennsylvania, the president had come out of Philadelphia losing by about 260-odd thousand. And that he could make it They figured with, no, it was 240-odd thousand, not 260-odd, 240-odd thousand. And that they felt that the if he got over, if he lost by more than 250,000 Philadelphia, he couldn't make it in Pennsylvania. But that but she said, notwithstanding that report, Heinz came out of Philadelphia losing by 300,000. And he's making it because he's getting a tremendous vote in the Pittsburgh area. So I said, now, is the president getting the same thing? She said, he is not. He is not getting the same thing that Heinz is. Heinz is running ahead of him materially in the Pittsburgh area as a test. Another one of the reports that she gave me concerned itself with Wisconsin, which also didn't, she said, did not, they, we had expected, she said, to carry Wisconsin, but it doesn't look too good. On the other hand, I got the distinct impression from the president that the Connecticut and New Jersey victories were very welcome, though they had counted on New Jersey and Connecticut, but they were very, very welcome, and they began to break the monotony of the red map. Now that again I recall it, I think the first state that went for the president was Kansas. The first blue, and the president commented that he wished they had, as the president said, I wish they had as many people out there as they have land. He said, it looks great on the map, but there are mighty few electoral votes. No. I went to the president and told him personally each item as it was reported to me, and he obviously very pleased with the fact that I was doing this. He would just listen with interest. He made no comment on Pennsylvania. Now, the results came in from the farm states rather quickly. That is Oklahoma, Nebraska, not Iowa. Iowa was a long, long time holdout. And the president said, it is so gratifying to me that we were able to hold the farm vote in these farm states. Now, along about that time, as the map was lighting up in the Middle West, Texas began to show red, and the president expressed rather deep disappointment that we had lost Texas. Something like, I don't like that red in Texas. That doesn't look too good to me. Also, periodically throughout the whole evening, the popular vote was being shown. The president did not express any dismay at the electoral vote, because you had the whole South and it speedily began to be 4-1 caught up in electoral votes. But they were still, say, around under 150 in the 130s bracket. But the president expressed no dismay at that. He expected that. But the popular vote hung hour after hour at 51-48, and the president said, That's not so good. I think the hanging of the popular vote impressed him more than the electoral vote.
Did he express anything?
No. But I had the distinct feeling that what was running through his mind was, here I am, the president. What is the popular support? How many of the people really want me to continue? I think he would have, I had the distinct feeling that he would have not been too happy to have won it with the electoral vote and not with the popular vote, that the popular vote registered very heavily with his mind as a vote of approval of his policies, etc. Well, he said that popular vote seems to be hanging right there and it doesn't move hardly a hair. It was a factual comment, but I think it revealed what was in his mind. Matter of fact, I think the president said those CBS guys are really quick on the trigger, not in a flattering way, see. At that particular point, the mountain states opened up, and the president, there were cheers, of course, every time a state went for the president. You know, the children cheered, and Joe Garagiola was the cheerleader, a very effervescent person. But when the mountain states opened up, the president said, God, that blue really looks good. Again, he repeated, I sure wish there were as many people as there is land in those great western areas. Particular point, when the South was in, the mountain states and the farm states were in, Connecticut was in, New Jersey was in, but neither Ohio nor Illinois nor Michigan nor Iowa were in. Dick Cheney arrived with Bob Tita, the pollster. That was about, must have been around 11 to 12 p.m. And they motioned to the president, or indicated to the president they wanted to talk to him. And he went in the room where the buffet had been set up with them. And they were sitting in three, you know, stand-up chairs. When Dick Cheney came out and said, the president wants you with him. And I went in the room, and what they did was to give the president a rundown and told him that they didn't think that was as yet decisive and there really was nothing for him to say. And the president turned to me and said, Jack, what do you think? And I said, I thoroughly agree, Mr. President. It's much too premature and there really is nothing for you to say. Oh, they came in and volunteered the information. Now, whether you'd asked Dick to come over on the phone, as Dick was in his office in the White House all night, or not, I have no idea. But from the atmosphere, I would say that by then they were seeing a trend and that they came in to report to him and to make a recommendation to do nothing, and he concurred in that, and I concurred in it. Dick Cheney took the president took Dick Cheney into a bedroom across the hall. I think it was Mrs. Ford's bedroom. 5 minutes, someone came and said, the president wants to see you. And I went into the room with Cheney and the president. Cheney then told me that they had had information from New York that the vote count was being withheld in certain districts in the South Bronx and in Brooklyn, and that they had talked to Rosenbaum and to Lefkowitz. And that Rosenbaum had said that he thought that an order ought to be obtained to impound the voting machines, and that Lefkowitz was the one to obtain it. Lefkowitz had then said he would do it if the White House requested it, at which point I said that I thoroughly disagreed with that. The White House should not request it. It had no evidence as yet, but that the White House should ask the Attorney General to run it down, to get the evidence, and that if he did get the evidence, that the state committee should do it. So I talked on the telephone then and there with Lefkowitz, and Rosenbaum concurred and said that he would get Lefkowitz to run down this evidence, see if there was evidence. And I said that one of the ways in which you can get the evidence is by finding out from the police department what had been unreported from Brooklyn and the Bronx. There may be nothing as a fact. This may not be true. So he said that they had done that, and in fact, there were a deficiency in such reports from certain areas of Brooklyn and the Bronx, and that he would have, that the state committee would itself make the complaint if they decided that there were facts behind this situation. Now, at that time, I did not know what I heard later, that Ron Nessen had gone out and indicated that it was the White House which had requested the state committee to impound these machines. But that was not the conversation. The conversation was that the state committee should satisfy itself as to the facts independently, and that it should be the party complaining because it had the basic facts itself. The only thing that Cheney had was a tip, really, from somebody that this was happening. And he felt it serious enough to ask the president, and the president felt it serious enough to ask me. As the president mentioned, that I had been a former attorney general of New York, and I was the logical one to help them make this decision. He said that when I came in the room. And I said, of course, that's absolutely true. And here is a situation. This is what I think you ought to do. Now, I'm a little unsure as to whether I talked to Rosenbaum or Lefkowitz, and I wish that there was agreement that that was the thing to do. The thing to do is to run it down, to be sure it was a solid fact, and then to take the action based on the state committee's complaint, because it was then would then have been seized of the facts. At 12 to 1, the president's attitude was still matter of fact, and still very contained,
When the announcement came that Pennsylvania had gone for Carter, I think he was very disappointed. He didn't say a word, but he was very disappointed. His demeanor was one of disappointment. I think Pennsylvania really disappointed him. I don't think Ohio, when it came later, disappointed him. I think he was elated by Illinois. I think he was half dismayed by Wisconsin. And he showed complete confidence respecting Michigan. There was never a doubt in his mind, even though Michigan was going against him. Now, he and I had won two or three interchanges during the night about Pennsylvania and Michigan, when I said, "Mr. President, I believe your experience in Michigan is analogous to mine in New York. The first returns in New York City, and they don't look good for a Republican, not even for me." During the course of the evening, I had told the president that my experience in New York indicated that early returns from an industrial state were very misleading, or could be, because the first returns came in from whatever was the big city, whatever was handy to the networks. And that's why you often saw them make grant a state to one of the candidates.